Come now, all you mangy dogs. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Ah, shiver me timbers. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. As Korea transitions through its post-Olympic hangover phase, it's time for us to cast our gaze out toward the starry heavens. As we present to you this week's show, episode number 97 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Hailing from Hamilton, Ontario, podcast host Kevin Estrella moonlights as a top-notch musician with the instrumental rock band Pyramids on Mars. Welcomed into the UFO community after having his own first-hand otherworldly encounter, he's now started speaking publicly and has been a feature guest on multiple UFO-themed radio talk shows. And we've got Kevin here waiting in the wings, standing by via Hamilton, Ontario. I myself, of course, Jaffe Ryder, based out of South Korea. As usual, welcome everybody, episode 97 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Kevin, do we still got you there?
You sure do.
Hey, that's great. So, looking forward to things here tonight. A whole lot of conversation to plow through, as well as maybe even a bit of a chance to stream out some of your music as well, courtesy of Pyramids on Mars. How long has the group been together?
Actually, Pyramids on Mars is my solo project, and its inception was actually January of 2011. That is when Pyramids on Mars was born, basically. That's when it started, and I started recording. I put together a studio and started putting together music, and spent from 2011 till 2013 summer putting my first CD together, and then that was released in July of 2013, I believe it was. Yeah.
Now you've got a live end of the operation as well, too. Do you not? Did you not recently just bring a drummer on board?
Yes, actually, I just found a drummer 2 weeks ago. So I'm putting a new band together for a live performance. We're looking for a bass player right now, and then the rest of the music will be sequenced through my laptop. I'll be adding the keyboards and other rhythm guitars and other effects along with that. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to playing live again, for sure.
You've been a little bit out of the game for a while then, I guess, have you?
Yeah, for a year and a half, I hadn't played live because I was putting pieces together, basically, and I was at the Canadian Music Week in Toronto 2 years ago, and I met with a bunch of record labels, and I was trying to get a vibe from them in regards to how can someone still get a record deal in this day and age, even though it's almost impossible. And they said that you have to be able to, if you can't tour, no record label is going to even look at you. It doesn't matter if you have a million Twitter followers. And you have to understand, at this time, I was still married and got kids and stuff. And I'm like, okay, if I got a tour, I got to be able to have an alternate income. So I figured, okay, what can I do? What can I do with my music to raise money? And I thought, wait a second, I could create my own series of online guitar instructional videos teaching my style of lead guitar playing, which is very much in the, in the style of Yngwie Malmsteen, in the classically influenced neoclassical and Baroque. So I decided, hey, I could do that. And so I basically dedicated a year to creating my own series of online instructional guitar lessons that teach my approach to lead guitar playing, which is very much in the style of Yngwie Malmsteen, because my real influences come from Baroque classical music. I don't even really listen to guitar players anymore. I'm not influenced by guitar players. I don't like listening to guitar players, as strange that that is. As far as melodies and leads go, listening to Bach and Vivaldi and Mozart, for the most part, yeah. And that's where I get my melodic ideas, is from listening to violin music and harpsichord sequences and cello. So I think in the last year, I've really been turned on more to just listening to Vivaldi and the violin melodies that he's creating, taking apart and understanding how he thinks about melody, and then being able to apply those concepts to when I'm playing. And an artist is always continuously evolving, and real artists are not copying themselves. They are continuously refining their craft. There's a lot of musicians who just don't know who they are. They imitate their heroes, and they are not really capable of finding what I focused on by honing my craft and what I really liked, what really inspired me. I was then able to start to spend a lot of time just crafting melodies and melodic patterns that started to become second nature to what I was playing. And if you listen to Yngwie Malmsteen, he's this world famous Swedish guitar player who was influenced by classical music like Bach and stuff like that. And just focus on what I'm doing and try and be the best at what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
It's a question, it sounds like, really, of authenticity is one of the points, I guess, you're trying to convey. Yeah, you're also a big Kurt Cobain fan, from the sounds of it. One of the interviews I was listening to, just working on doing my homework here in the lead up to things, you got a lot of respect for his guitar playing. Although a lot of, you know, most people, when you talk about guitar players, they wouldn't necessarily,
his name wouldn't be coming up first.
No, and I use him as a great example because he's a guitar player who is not technically proficient. In fact, I don't even know if he really, you know, when he tries to play a lead, he doesn't know what he's doing. And sometimes some of his leads are just like complete noise.
Right.
But it just sounds so cool because he's putting his spirit and his energy into it. And that's what it's really about. It's not about technique. It's about expression of your soul, about who you are. That's what it's about. There's 25 million technically proficient guitar players out there. There's no shortage of technically proficient guitar players, but that's not what I'm listening for. I'm listening for their energy, for their emotion that's coming out in their expression of themselves and through their instruments. That's what I'm listening for. I'm not listening to the notes. I mean, technique is technique, but it's their spirit, what they're communicating behind the notes, that is what really gets, you know, is what I'm listening for. Their essence, that telepathic communication of spirit.
Speaking of telepathic communication of spirit, that might be a decent way to sequitur or transition here to the main focus of the evening, which really is your encounter that you experienced back, I guess it was 2014. Maybe we could probably get into that now, as well as while we're doing that, stream some of your music. Now, I'm not sure what off of what release this is exactly. We have a couple of your songs, though, and we did check them out as well, too. Cosmic Echo and Heaven's Gate were the most kind of soothing that we felt would provide the best ambiance to things here. So we'll get one or the other here queued up and see how that goes. But how did this all come about then? You had an encounter in your backyard about 2 or 3 years ago now, I guess is what it is.
Yes, it's kind of everything that kind of comes together. My music is tied to my extraterrestrial experiences and contact and my life mission, actually. It's been interesting to reverse engineer my life and see exactly what it was that I wanted to be when I was young and what I wanted to do, and then how it actually was always meant to be. It was always part of the plan. When you start to understand our concept of time is not what we think it is, that there is no past, present, or future, that there is only all time, and in some ways it's completely certain.
We got some strange things going on from this end of things. Half a dozen followers here via our YouTube stream, and people are telling us that the sound level has completely dropped out. On the bright side of things, positive note here, we are still recording, so we didn't hopefully lose everything that you just shared with us, but one of the people following the stream says they hear typing. Someone has hacked you, is what they're claiming. And they hear some sort of heavy, kind of creepy breathing. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know what's going on. So I don't know how to, unfortunately, we're not technically, I'm not sure if we can overcome this in any way. We're still recording and we're still in communication with them via text chat. But they've somehow, whoever this is what it's looking like.
Ah, okay, here we go.
Now they're saying they hear us. And we got, of course, a 20-30 second delay as well, too. So we'll just play this by ear. Let's just assume that we're on track here and things have managed to remedy themselves. And we will carry on as, with the rest of our conversation here. So
I can try and take it off speakerphone and see if that makes a difference.
Oh, no. Don't. No, this is the best sound we've got out of you so far to this point.
Okay.
At all, period. So, yeah, we're back is what they're telling us. So that's good. Oh.
Okay.
Talking about high strangeness. My God. Explain that one, folks. How about that? People are wondering, too. We had a little bit of an ambiance there. We were trying to add to things as Kevin was unpacking his story for us with, I'm not sure, is it Cosmic Echo or Echo Cosmic?
Echo Cosmic.
Oh, it is Echo Cosmic. How about that? So
that's my second CD. That's actually the title of my second CD is Echo Cosmic.
Okay, so it's a title track. How about that? We'll be maybe jumping back and forth here between the music and your contactee experience. The two, I'm guessing even you would agree, and well, Grant Cameron, who we had on the show here not so long ago, along with your now relatively new friend, I guess, Nancy Tremaine, just on a couple weeks ago. She didn't really talk about it so much, but Grant has known about this for a long time, this business about consciousness and musicians in particular who seem to operate or vibrate on a certain level or with a certain frequency have, for some reason, more of a kind of rapport with these ET beings, as it were.
Yes.
Why don't you just share with our listeners how it was, what led you, and we can come back to your initial contact story and try to suss out more of the details and particulars. There might even be comments or questions coming in via the Peanut Gallery here through the live chat as well, too. People wanting to...
Oh, I love questions.
A lot of comments, usually with our shows, but people are a little shy, it seems, when it comes to questions. It just all varies, but Grant Cameron and Nancy, you've attended a few of the conferences over the last couple of years, UFO conferences, but how did you first come to meet Grant exactly?
Oh, it's an amazing story. By the way, I'm a colleague of Grant. I work very close with Grant, and I actually dated his secretary or his administrative assistant for 3 months. But I work very closely with him. Just because there's so much of the stuff that he is teaching, which I am a living example of the stuff that he's talking about, consciousness and downloads and telepathy and shutting down the ego brain and connecting yourself to your... debuted on a radio show the weekend after that, of August 21st, because they live in my city of Hamilton. They could find no trace of evidence at all from anybody of anything that took place that night. So much that the next day I was contacted by Rob McConnell's producer, and they said, due to the lack of evidence of your sighting, we are dropping your case. Don't ever contact us again. I'm like, oh. At first I was kind of upset, but then all of a sudden I just was euphoric, because I realized, wait a second, they did all the research for me to verify that there's no evidence of this sighting, which verifies that what I saw was real. But why am I the only one who's having contact with this craft? That's what freaked me right out. And I called up Grant, and I called him because I got his cell phone. I said, Grant, this is what they're saying. This is what they're saying. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And he said, yeah, don't worry about it. I saw Yufan's presentation on you, and we'll talk about it. Don't worry. And so then I meet with him on Sunday, and we sit down for coffee, and I tell him the whole story again. I say, they're saying that I'm the only one who saw the craft, and there's no evidence of a sighting. And he says, just totally nonchalant, just casual, yeah, that happens all the time. And I'm like, what do you mean it happens all the time? He says, for one person to see a UFO and nobody else around it, it happens all the time. It's called the Oz effect. And then he gave a description, you know, other examples of how John Lennon in New York City saw a UFO and nobody else did. And he was so pissed off about it that he ended up calling his next album, I Saw a UFO in New York City and Nobody Cares. You know, and then he talked about some other people who he knew who were chased down a normally busy freeway by a UFO. And then when Grant stops him, he says, wait a second, he says, which highway was this? He says, it was X, whatever it was. And how is there cars on this thing? Oh, yeah, it's busy all the time. He says, okay, well, how many cars were on the highway when you're being chased? And they stop and they think about it. And it's like they realize, wait a second, we're being chased for 10 minutes and there's nobody on either side of the highway or freeway. So it's like these extraterrestrials have this ability to be able to shut down whoever they don't want to have contact with, just to be able to have contact with the people they want to have contact with. And he turns to me, looks at me, and Grant says, Kevin, they're in direct contact with you. I'm like, oh my God. And he said, they weren't going out for a coffee or they weren't going out for a beer run, Kevin. Like, they were in contact with you for a reason. I'm like, oh my God. And so that was the beginning of the enlightenment of realizing that weekend changed my life. My life was put on a course for a completely different purpose. And then all these new things would start to happen that Grant would told me about. He says, it's kind of like a chess game where you'll end up meeting somebody who you're supposed to meet, who has information that you're supposed to have. It's kind of like they leave breadcrumbs, and you'll find you'll start to have all these synchronicities. And that's exactly what happened. I met with Michael Lee Hill, who's the son of Eric Clapton, who taught me about the importance of tuning your instrument to 432 hertz versus the standard 440 hertz. And then I got another download. If you look at my guitar that I have this. And I thought of my dream. I said, that looks really cool in a guitar neck, that design. But, like, there's no way you can do that, have an inlay like that. The technology isn't out there. Well, I was kind of wrong about that, because 3 days after having this dream, I'm followed by a company on Twitter called Neck Illusions, who has a patent on custom neck graphics. And so I go to Mark with the design idea I had, like what I saw in the dream, and I say, can you make this? And he says, no, not only could they make it, they were so excited about it that they end up giving me an endorsement deal. So it's like, how do you make this up? You know, synchronicity after synchronicity. And my life is just continuously like that.
Seem to be experiencing a little of that ourselves right now here, once again, on this end of things, as the YouTube live streamers are, for whatever reason, experiencing the show in a really sort of hit and miss kind of fashion with, well, the stream is coming through, I guess, is what they're telling us. And then suddenly it sounds as if somebody is hacking into the show and they hear a little, well, if not a lot of heavy breathing and somebody pecking away madly on the keyboard. So I hope that's not me, but I don't know what's going on exactly, but we've never had this issue before, and I don't think you have either with any of your interviews that you've
done. Actually, that description has happened before. That's very funny that you mentioned that, because this has happened before. that exact same description of somebody heavily breathing and somebody typing madly on a keyboard.
How many times?
At least once or twice.
Well, now that makes three times, I guess, if our math is right. So
that's, yeah, I'm being hacked.
Trolled, yeah, is what it sounds like. Could be more than anything here. So, yeah.
I don't know about trolling, but I do know that there are military eyes on me, for sure.
This kind of brings us to the point right now where we could raise the issue, or at least ask you what your thoughts are as far as this business of so-called My Labs, as well as you've got a tune here, the Order of the Freemasons, I believe is what it's known as. We tried to rip a copy off SoundCloud, and that did not go well at all, so
I could have sent that to you.
I didn't want to really bother you any more than I felt we already had, so. But the point is, the question I guess I'd like to raise is, you yourself, are you a Freemason or not?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, well, Tom DeLonge is, and you know who he is, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You may have even met him. I don't know.
I've been compared to him. I have nothing to do with him. Some people say I kind of look like him. You know, it's almost like the Enlil and Enki of the Anunnaki, you know, the good brother and bad brother, because I have no affiliation with Tom DeLonge. And yeah, I appreciate the work that he's doing, but he and I are completely different paths. I'm of a consciousness path, and he's of a financial path.
So what was your inspiration then behind the song or the arrangement that you put together titled Order of the Freemasons?
It was to bring a little bit of light to, you know, the Freemasons themselves and this and the Illuminati and the secret societies that are out there. And that song is really dark, and it's actually very terrifying to listen to. It's more like a work of art when you listen to it, because it's got chanting, like Gregorian chants at the beginning of the song. It's got this crazy Moog synthesizer, really creepy sound. And when you add the two together, it gets really creepy. And then there's all these, you know, you got these other effects and people talking and laughing and echoing. And then it gets into this heavy guitar. And it just kind of takes you on a journey of madness, basically.
We'll definitely be adding that to the show notes for people to check out on their own time, of course. Yeah, compared to Tom DeLonge, you definitely do look like him a little bit, and it is interesting how the two of you actually are musicians. So where, then, if you could just further elaborate on the distinction between the two of you as far as where you're coming from then exactly.
As you say, couldn't be any more different from one another.
Tom DeLonge is coming from the technology side of the UFO thing. He has no interest in the experiencers and the people who are having contact. Their technology, and then we're going to kill them all. That's his philosophy. I'm completely the opposite. Oh, the other thing is, he's also trying to raise money and build a business and, you know, and have lots of millions. I'm a very poor musician. I can barely afford my rent, and I'm on the consciousness path. I don't care about money. I'm about the consciousness. I am the experiencer. I have direct contact with extraterrestrials. I've had 4, you know, UFO craft sightings, and I've had a wellness visit back in 1999. I don't call them alien abductions. That's a scare term that's used by, you know, the mass media to keep everybody in a state of fear, because that's how they control you. I've had a wellness visit back in 1999, and I had another one recently last week. I was told ahead of time that I was going to be visited by the Greys. Actually, they're called the Ponti. They're from the planet Pontel, which is the fifth planet orbiting Zeta Reticuli 2. I know them very well, and you can find them too, because they're using Twitter. There's a little group of Zetas. Their names are Tilkum, Jrudy, Radar, and Teeny, and they are using Twitter. It's at sandiawisdom.com. That's S-A-N-D-I-A wisdom. Not .com, it's just Sandia Wisdom on Twitter. They're using Twitter. How are they using Twitter? Well, they're not actually doing the tweets. That's being done by their telepath. Her name is Sue Walker. In the room with us. I actually caught him out of the corner of my eye. They're very real. And he also decided to play a prank on me. And when I was in the camper getting ready for bed, he and his friends decided to rock the camper while I was in it. They're a bunch of jokers. But I was told by Sue about 4 weeks ago, there's going to be a lot more visitations, a lot more UFO sightings as in 2018. So everyone, keep an eye out. You're going to see lots of UFO sightings. And for those who are already being visited by Star Nation beings, you're going to get more visitations. I had one last week. I was told by Sue 4 weeks ago that more amazing.
What's the distinction or difference between a contactee and an experiencer?
The same thing. They're really the same thing.
Okay.
What people need to understand, though, is the concept of alien abduction, that is it's a really negative word, and it kind of it's not that you have this one shot, you know, to reach enlightenment on this timeline and you go to heaven for eternity or you go to hell for eternity. No, it's not that simple. So reincarnation is part of the plan, and recycling is part of the plan. But where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so you alien abductions are not abductions. There is some kind of agreement that, you know, they're only going to come visit you if you've given them consent. So anybody else who wants to have visitations, just telepathically send out a message that you are giving authorization and consent in a CE5 fashion that you want to have contact.
And that's what it sounds like you were doing right from the time, as I believe, as to what you said in the introductory stages of the show, since the time you were a child, really, had been, that's where your head and heart had been at, and it all kind of culminated and came together back in 2014. Before we get sidetracked with any more conversation here, though, or talking points, there's something that I would like to go back to. The wellness visit, that was something that you sent to me, of course, in the email just a couple of days ago. So that was important to kind of go over that one for sure, as well as we could perhaps even come back to that, because I'm not too clear on how that works. It doesn't sound like it's an actual physical thing so much as maybe a psychic matter. But before we even, and you can make a note of this if you want, but one of the things that we're supposed to do, and we always get sidetracked here, is a pirate story. And I know this is a bit maybe a distraction or kind of just maybe taking things not necessarily in the best direction, but it is part of the show, and it is in accordance with the ship's articles and how the captain likes to have things run here, courtesy of Pirate Radio Podcast. So did you have a chance to think about that? I know we sent you a note there a little while ago. Anything that strikes a chord as far as pirates are concerned?
The only thing I could think about with pirates, because I couldn't really think of anything for myself, but I can definitely talk like a pirate for the rest of the show if you really want me to.
I think that would be even more distracting than maybe if we were to put together a special feature or some little, maybe you could come join us for Talk Like a Pirate Day, or maybe during our Christmas campaign next year. That'd be an idea. So more than welcome to take us up on that offer. But you actually, let's not forget, reached out to us, as did Nancy. And this is all, I guess, via grant, perhaps. Somebody had,
yes,
passed. I'm not sure how you got a hold of us exactly. Do you know how that all came about? Did somebody pass our contact information along to you, or what happened there exactly?
Yes, Grant passed along
Oh, well, bless his heart. Well, if you would thank him, he's a hard guy to reach. He doesn't really respond to too many. We try not to pester people too much, but we had sent a few private messages to him on Facebook. We are friends with Grant on Facebook, but he just doesn't. He's got more, I guess, important things to focus on than being overly distracted with us. But,
I think the best way to contact him is via email.
Oh, yeah.
White House UFO.
Yeah, well, he did get back to us a time or two via that outlet. Jimmy, I think, is a publicist or somebody that's tied into his, maybe part of his It's All Connected project.
Yes.
Do you know Jimmy? He's out in Toronto there, I think.
No, I don't know Jimmy myself. I mean, Katarina Castillo, she does a lot of the publishing editing for Grant as well as Dest Barnaby. They work with Grant with helping him getting his books published. They do all the putting it together. But I don't know Jimmy too well. I think Jimmy may do bookings for Grant for radio.
There you go.
He contacted me. Yeah, he contacted me and booked Grant for my radio show, Pyramids on Mars UFO Radio. Oh, by the way, anybody who wants to find my information, they can find me, anything about me, at pyramidsonmars.com. So that's pyramidsonmars.com. You'll find my CD, links to my music, links to iTunes. There's some music videos there. All my own personal radio interviews are listed there. There's links to my online guitar lessons from that website. Links to my DNA, my neck illusions graphics too. Links to my UFO radio show, Pyramids of Mars UFO Radio. And also there's my other radio show, Starseed Ascension. There's some links there, too. It's a very busy website. There's a lot of cool stuff there.
With 100,000 followers on Twitter, that's quite impressive. How did you manage that?
A lot of work.
That's great.
A lot of work.
Well, you're a bit of a public personality on multiple fronts, music as well as this business with respect to the world of ufology or ufological studies, that sort of thing. So... And we've only got another half hour here, really. So, while we're on the topic, I suppose, have you got any conferences coming up or public appearances, things that maybe people would be interested in knowing about?
Yes, for sure. I am going to be at the Alien Cosmic Exhibition in Toronto this year, which I think is June 22nd. It's the summer solstice. I will be there for the whole weekend. MUFON, who's running it, they're paying for me to stay. Because I'm interviewing, they've asked me to interview all of their guest speakers, so I thought that was a great honor. So I'll be wandering around the Alien Cosmic Expo. That's the main one that I'm doing this year. I might be doing another one with my other colleagues, Dr. Sasha Lesson and Janet Lesson of Aquarian Radio, based out of Honolulu. I'm a co-host on their show, and they are putting together a get-together in Albuquerque. I think it's October 12th weekend. I'm hoping to be able to attend that one there, too.
You're a part of three different podcast projects as well, are you not?
Yes, I have my radio show, which is Pyramids on Mars UFO Radio. I've got another radio show called Starseed Ascension on the Why Wouldn't We Radio out of Dallas, Texas, which is the third Thursday of every month. Every Tuesday of every week, I'm a co-host on Aquarian Radio with Dr. Sasha Lesson and Janet Lesson on Sacred Matrix.
Excellent. Well, we'll be sure to add all of those URL links to the show notes once we take care of everything via post-production. In the meantime, not quite half a dozen folks following us here via the live chat. Hoping to get our numbers back up to that level once again. We'll see how things go. But big shout out to Emily Anderson, of course, who's joined us and has proven quite resilient, along with Pirate Joe Eminon, of course, sticking with us here through thick and thin. High strangeness and technical issues aside, it's really quite bizarre. And one of the things that Joe would like to talk about, because he is an experiencer of sorts himself as well. He says he gave no one consent when he got taken for 4 hours. It was quite an ordeal, as I recall. He'd be best qualified to convey those details. We've got it archived here at one place or another, but it was quite traumatic. And that, I guess, maybe brings us to our next point. Not all of these encounters are necessarily of the benevolent sort. Would you not agree, or what are your thoughts on this whole matter?
Yeah, there's a certain percentage of for people who their experiences were not for the word pleasant, but at the same point, it's a matter of really understanding exactly what's going on. You know, for Nancy Tremaine, when she had some unpleasant experiences as well, and Mr., her reptilian contact, told her that her fear was perceived. So that kind of made Nancy not too happy, but I don't really understand exactly the whole, you know, exactly what, I don't know everything. I cannot pretend to know everything. I'm just going by what has been communicated to me by other Star Nation beings in regards to consent. And, you know, sometimes they're doing work that is as stressful for them as it is for us. But it's work that they're trying to get done and that, you know, that needs to be done.
That's a good point, actually. Not too many people stop to think about that, I suppose. They're not maybe having as great an experience or time as some, such as ourselves, might like to imagine. Dr. David Jacobs is the one particular individual in the world of ufology, ufological studies, ET encounters and whatnot, who constantly is very much persistently on the side of these being negative experiences, and that these entities are, in his mind, based on what he claims are his studies and conclusions, they're up to no good. I mean, you can address that if you like, or just leave that aside, but maybe, in fact, this kind of ties into what I'd like to ask you about next, and that's the fact that I guess you have been, first of all, this was not your first UFO encounter back in 2014. Secondly, that you are said to be in touch with, among other things, an Alpha Draconian reptilian. Is that correct?
Well, let's see here. I got to kind of back up a bit. Last year, back in January, I had met with Elizabeth April. If you look at her up on YouTube or Facebook, she's an experiencer. She's a tall white Zeta incarnate on this timeline. She's very enlightened, very in touch with the Akashic records and reading people. And so she and I have a very interesting connection, where she and I have a connection in the ancient past, in the present, and also in the very, very far future, 200 lifetimes from now. When I first met her at the Alien Cosmic Expo, what really captured my attention about her was she had drawn this painting of a mantis being, a mantid, like praying mantis being. And I had actually met mantis as well when I was under hypnosis. And so, but I was told to go in the future, and in the future I met with these mantis beings. And for her, she was taken to the future, and she is a mantis being in the future. So we had that strange connection. When I met with her last year, she did a past life reading on me, and she discovered that both her and I existed way back in ancient Egypt. However, I was not human. I was a reptilian general. And then she gave me a whole background on what I was doing. So I thought, this is very interesting. So I have a history as a reptilian. Now, I also got more confirmation about that when I got to speak with another Star Nation being, because I have a friend who I met who channels with a tall white. Her name's Dee Dee. And when he was talking to Dee Dee, I asked Dee Dee a question. And he said, yes, she's listening. And I said, is it true about my reptilian connection to ancient Egypt? And her response back was, yes, but I'm not authorized to talk about it. And I was just like, what? I was not expecting that answer. I mean, first of all, yes, she's saying, yes, you were a reptilian. So, oh my God, hello. And the second one, that she was like, she couldn't talk about it. But basically, it came down to it. There's certain things that she's not allowed to talk about because it involved somebody else. And I finally got it out of her. Does it involve Elizabeth April? And she confirmed, yes, it's Elizabeth April. You can't. You have to talk to her about it. So I end up calling Elizabeth up and saying, can you, this is what Dee Dee said. And then Elizabeth said, yeah, I'm not surprised that it's confidential. Okay, we'll talk about that. So we meet up at Starbucks, and then she tells me the rest of the story. So anyway, so I had a, you know, okay, so I came to slowly come to grips with my reptilian past life and that I have a connection to the reptilians. And I think that's why Nancy Tremaine and I have such an amazing connection. And we have, I call it consciousness quantum entanglement, because she and I continuously have these crazy synchronicities that are unexplainable together. And I think it's also because of, you know, Mister has some kind of connection with me. So what happened at the Alien Cosmic Expo last year regarding Alpha Draconian? This is really cool. You can't make this up, this shit up. You can't make this up, okay? I'm not making anything up. I'm sure there's lots of people out there who are thinking this guy is just full of it. Nothing he's saying makes any sense. It's just way too out there. Well, I'm telling you, this is what happened, okay? So I go to the Alien Cosmic Expo, and I meet up with my friend Campbell Foster, who I interviewed, who he builds these pyramids for meditation. And I was inside this pyramid doing this meditation, balancing my chakras. And it was such a high energy that I was feeling that I actually had to have him pull me out of it, because I was just completely dizzy. And so I go to the presentation, and MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, is doing a presentation on a local case of a woman and her daughter in Burlington here. And then he said, because it was a PowerPoint presentation, and I asked a girl to draw pictures of what she saw. And you got to be careful about what you ask for. Look what she drew. And then he puts up a drawing that she drew of this reptilian with red scales, and it had, you know, dragon-like wings. And then he starts referring to it as a demon or a gargoyle or nightmares and stuff. And he starts talking about it really negatively. And I'm like, you can't do that. That's a being. That's what he looks like. You can't judge someone on, you know, on how they look and calling them evil. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like calling a black guy the N-word, you know? You just don't do that. So I was really upset about it. But the thing is, this is really what's really weird. I've never seen an Alpha Draconian before, you know, but I knew when I saw the picture, I said, that's an Alpha Draconian. It was like a knowingness of something that I had no understanding of or had any background of being able to understand, knowing what kind of reptilian that was. But I knew it without a doubt that it was Alpha Draconian. It had wings, and I just had this knowing, and I never even knew that reptilians had wings. It was the first one that I ever saw. Actually, if you see the movie Jupiter Rising, the beings in that movie, the reptilians with the wings, that is what I was referring to, and that is what I ended up channeling, if you go and watch that movie. So he's talking, he's doing his presentation, and then he ends up coming back to it again, and he starts talking about angels and demons, and then he puts the picture of the reptilian back up there. By this point, it was upsetting, but then something deep inside me, it said kind of telepathically, you need to speak. You need to speak up right now. And I'm like, I can't do that. I can't do that. And then it was basically, well, if you're not going to, then I am. And then he came in. Holy cow, did he ever come in? The only way I can describe where it's coming and you can't stop it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the air, it's called airplanes. The ceiling is spinning. You're laying there in bed. And you know, it's like, oh, I got to make a run for the bathroom or it's going to end up all over my bed here. So I think I know.
Yeah, it's like basically you're I'm talking to him like this. Saying you cannot be talking about this being black or white. I'm talking to him, like my voice just dropped really low. And I'm talking to the guy, and I'm really dizzy. I think I was only about 25% consciously there. This Alpha Draconian came inside me. I felt my body change. I felt my shoulder blades expand wide out. I felt like I was 16 feet tall and 5 feet wide. And I felt in between my shoulder blades the crap out of them. And I'm starting to come back, and I'm like, you know, my head's all really.
That's quite a story. In fact, yeah, you're doing some pretty heavy-duty channeling there is what it sounds like, and that's the first time that ever took place, occurred, or you experienced that, I guess.
Yeah, I had no idea that I had that ability. I actually convey a lot of it probably happened to do with that pyramid meditation, because I felt my chakras lining up and my energies were just flowing so much while I was sitting there listening to the presentation that I think I was just other fifth dimensional or sixth dimensional beings. I was like this huge shining white light amongst the room, and I kind of left the door open. So it was just easy enough for them to sit down in my chair and just use me as a doorway to be able to have a word to this gentleman.
Yeah, it's almost as if they were being challenged, I suppose, and they had to make their presence known via you as a vehicle.
To clarify, there was no body possession, no demon possession. They were my words, and it was my emotions and my feelings that I was talking to this guy. It was like this Alpha Draconian and I were merged together, and we both felt the same way.
The symbiosis. So Nancy Tremaine, symbiosis.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Because what I was saying was completely truthful, and it was me and him speaking the truth together, because we both agreed with what it was that needed to be communicated.
Has it ever occurred since that one occasion?
Yeah, actually, it kind of was. Because when I went back to work the next Monday, I wanted to bring back that reptilian, right? And so he actually came back in, and for about 2 hours in the morning, I was a draconian, I was a dragon, basically, in the morning on the phones, and it felt great. He just wanted to stretch his wings. Oh. It was crazy. After a while, I had to tell him, hey, you have to back off a bit consciously, because you're the one who's now talking on the phones, and you need to back off. And so consciously, he backed off, but he allowed me to carry his wings for another hour. So I walk into the bathroom, and I'm in the stalls there, and doing my thing, and I'm standing next to this guy, and I'm thinking, you have no idea there's a dragon standing right next to you right now. What an incredible feeling, honest to God. I would welcome back that Alpha Draconian any day. Their bodies feel incredible.
Mind-blowing, puzzling. I mean, there's many things you could say about it. So is there any talk or thought at the moment of you writing a book? You're tied into Grant's publishing company. He's setting aside a chapter for you, I guess, in his upcoming release. What of yourself? Have you considered or been encouraged to embark on your own little solo literary project?
I've been encouraged many times to write a book, and I'm just waiting for the right time to do that. There's just so many things I'm doing right now which are kind of more precedent for the time, particularly working towards Official First Contact in 2021, which actually we should get to talking about pretty soon. But there's more pressing things that I need to be working on. A book will come out later when the time is right. Everything happens at the right time for a particular reason, especially when you start to understand the all time and you don't have to worry so much about trying to force something. Things will happen in the progress that they are supposed to happen.
On that note, there's a couple rapid fire points I'd like to have covered here before we can end in talking about this 2021 date, I suppose, is what it sounds like you have been presented with, and maybe others are talking about as well, as far as full extraterrestrial revelation or what have you. But a couple stories. One, this business of the Ryerson student, speaking of the Oz effect, was said to have disappeared from out of her classroom for I'm not sure how long exactly. But on top of that, it's all about the water off of your Facebook page that these gray type beings are talking about this business of, that's what the deal is, folks, why we're here. It's all about the water. So they're called the Pontel?
And the Ponte. Yes, okay. So the shorter gray aliens with the big black eyes and gray heads, they're actually from the planet Pontel, and they are the Ponte.
Gotcha. Okay, which I'm not sure which of those you want to tackle first, whether that one, business of how it's all about the water, or this young lady who was right in front of, I guess, a multitude of students, said to have just disappeared from right out of her seat.
I'll bring that up because that was actually brought to my attention by Richard Sirrett's producer. So Richard Sirrett, he runs the conspiracy show in Toronto. Very well known. Really, he's a really amazing guy.
Sure.
His producer was attending one of the Toronto Experiencer meetings about 3 weeks ago. He had to jump in and tell us about this story that took place at Ryerson because he's a Ryerson graduate. And he was telling a story about this professor who was... and mass chaos and reporting that their teacher was just abducted by aliens? No. They all just got onto their phones and just started texting people and they're just doing stuff. It was like they were turned off. Completely turned off. It didn't faze them whatsoever. And then when she returned, the classroom conducted again. She told her story to two people and that she was actually gone for several months, you know, because this is how time works. On Earth, she was gone for 10 minutes. Wherever she was actually gone for about 3 months, and then they gave her information, and then she was brought back. There's about maybe just a handful of witnesses who were actually interviewed who affirmed the story of... last 7 years making the whole Pacific Ocean radioactive and killing all the life in it, and nobody knows about it.
Yeah, they've really fallen down on the job, haven't they, in a big way, the mainstream media. The only ones that report on are people like us and the alternative Fifth Estate media. Yeah. So that's sad.
People don't realize that the Pacific Ocean is dead and no one's talking about it.
West Coast of North America is apparently really getting hit hard. Thankfully, here in Korea, because of the way that the waters and the winds move, it's all towards the west, you know?
Well, and here's the thing that the Ponte are saying, is that it's so bad that there are these massive ships getting them off planet right now to try and save the planet. That's how bad it is.
That's how bad it is. The alien spermatoza or the star seeding, the way planet seeding, initially the way that the universe, you know, and life on different planets such as ours here on Earth came about was at the hands, quite plausibly and possibly, of ETs, you would imagine.
It's
funny because scientists never talk about it. You know, it's not part of what's considered to be sane or a proper discourse. And isn't that something, though? Because I think it really upsets the apple cart, especially when things like organized religion are concerned. Challenges them in a big way.
Well, that's why I can't wait for 2021, is because the veil is going to come down and they're going to be telling us our real history of where we've come from and who we really are. Because it's been the ones who've been controlling the information for the last 1,000 years, telling us of the reality that they want us to believe, destroying whatever evidence they can to try and create a certain timeline that they want people to believe and ignore, you know, the other pieces of history information that doesn't fit with inside that matrix or that that paradigm.
Absolutely. So the word government, of course, meaning mind control. And it all comes down to the question of who's controlling whose mind here, folks. Are we taking on responsibility for this ourselves, or are we leaving this task up to other third-party entities, agencies, and interests? And if we do that, what might the consequences be? So, we've got about... We're going to, you know, we can let things run for another 10 or 15 minutes here. There's one of the things that is coming in via the YouTube chat here, and we still, this high strangeness has followed us the whole way here, interestingly. But Emily Anderson saying she can't wait to check out your website. So she's really very much looking forward to that. So it looks like you've managed to win at least one new fan here.
Does she have a question?
I'm not sure. Let's see. They mostly did a lot of just kind of running commentary and that sort of thing. So Joe Eminon, of course, earlier talking about his experience. You know, he was abandoned, I believe, taken to the hospital. His car was found abandoned way off in a completely separate location from where he was initially abducted. And I guess he was, I think, taken from right out of his car in the middle of the night as I believe he was driving down the road. He'd be able to fill us in a little better if he was here with us live. Unfortunately, he's a very high-tech individual, but when anytime he does call in, he's got the sound issues, unfortunately. He has the capacity to actually hack into satellites, believe it or not. So
he's one of the original phone freakers, truth be told. So
I just wanted to go home and eat, was what he said. Little gray bastards, only for repairs to my car.
Owe me for repairs to my car. There we go.
So yeah, folks, if you do have questions, you know, we got another 10, 15 minutes here, tops.
What I probably could do is talk about official first contact and what that's all about.
2021, what are we looking at?
Yeah, talking to Sue Walker, who speaks with, the Pawnee, she learned a few years ago from Tilcom, the leader, as to, you know, what they're doing at the base in the Sandia Mountains in Albuquerque. And he's been here for decades. And they've all been here for a long time preparing for official first contact. That is why they're here, his group. To a telepathically, everything else is an illusion. Ask David Icke about that. You know, ask anybody. Ask scientists. You know, the only thing that's real is consciousness. Everything else seems to be falling apart to this quantum holographic universe theory that seems to be making more and more sense, that we're actually living in some kind of elaborate video game.
A Matrix type Maya non-dual illusion that the perception of duality, the separation between oneself and others, even within oneself, there is that the division and split is itself false, and that if you really look into things deeply enough, that you'll see that, as Grant Cameron puts it, it's all connected. We're getting some feedback there. I see. Okay, so mute button got pushed mistakenly. Are you still with us there? It sounded like you might have dropped out.
No, I'm still here.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a technical kind of hiccup there. Moving right along, it looks like, you know, some great points being laid out there, and the Matrix business, of course, you know, and that kind of goes into the Mandela effect, which we really haven't got into, but this is really interesting, because I heard you talk about this in an earlier show, this business of Star Wars and C-3PO. What is going on there? I'm not really a huge, I'm not sold on the Mandela effect, but I'm open-minded, like with many things, you know. I'm kind of on the fence, and I'll hear out all sides out. But it depends on what's being presented and how convincing the argument is. But what's the deal there with Star Wars and C-3PO?
Well, Star Wars and C-3PO is just one thing that's changed, you know, regards to the timelines. I mean, there are not hundreds, there's thousands of things that have changed on the timeline with regards to realities. Are living on the new timeline. And as the history keeps getting... Do you remember an antenna sticking out of his forehead?
Oh, never. And I never recall him having a silver leg either. It's strictly a gold character.
Go take a look at anything now, and you will see that he always has had an antenna sticking out of his forehead.
We'll definitely be doing that. I think a few other people will be...
That's the Mandela effect. Here's another one for some people out there. Just a more recent one that I think it's ridiculous. If you look at any clock that has Roman numerals on it, how do you write a 4? You know, a 4 is 1V. Well, not anymore. Now it's either 1V, but more commonly it's 4 I's.
I saw that actually on your Facebook, and I believe I hashtagged it "Made in China."
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I'm not sure. Have there been many others throughout the world who have noticed the same thing, that it's a big kind of deal? Like, how did the Mandela effect started? With it all started with Nelson Mandela's death, did it not?
That seemed to be the thing that people remember the most, or that kind of triggered things, was people remembering Nelson Mandela dying, you know, in prison in the 90s or 80s. Everything has happened, the Mandela effect, he has a different memory of. He always had an antenna sticking out of his forehead. So it doesn't matter what time, you know, how often the timelines continue to change, his memory is being rewritten. And there's many people out there. And as I said, one day you're going to wake up, one day you're going to look at your hand, you're going to have six fingers, you're going to be screaming and freaking out, and somebody who has never been affected by the Mandela effect is going to say, I don't know what your problem is. We've always had six fingers. What are you talking about?
Isn't that something? So we'll see what comes of things here, and if that actually, as you say, some people are affected by it and others are not. So right now, though, this C-3PO Star Wars business has really got me thinking. Just a quick final question then, I guess. What has George Lucas said about the matter, or what perspective do most Star Wars fans have on the issue?
It depends on which universe you come from. Because both are right. I mean, if you're from the original timeline, C-3PO has always been gold. If you're on the new timeline, C-3PO has always had a silver leg and an antenna. If you talk to Anthony, or I think it's Anthony Daniels, who was the voice for C-3PO, about 13 years ago, there's a video or an article where he talks about C-3PO always having a silver leg. You know, we now have organs in different places they didn't used to be. Our Earth, before the dinosaurs, there was, like, you know, those shellfish-like creatures with a circular shellfish,
right,
that were ancient prehistoric things. I just found out tonight they're not prehistoric anymore. They now still exist. That's how the Mandela effect works. It's rewriting history all the way back to millions of years ago.
Fascinating stuff. There's no doubt about that, and something that definitely warrants more inquiry and investigation, conversation, and the like. In fact, we could even have an entire show set aside just to this business of strictly
focusing. I normally don't like just dropping this subject in a radio interview, because it is so, I always give it with a viewer or a listener's discretion, because it is too much to handle. It's way too much to handle. It'll just completely mess you up if you really, you know, if you're not ready for it.
The flat earth theory is another something that really has come into the fore as of late, or into the public view, and a lot of people talking about it, of course. So I'm not sure. I'm skeptical of everything, of course, but that one seems really quite dodgy. I don't know where you stand on that, unless you think there's an ET tie-in there. But if not, I think it's about time that we perhaps called it a wrap. I know you've got to get some rest here. You've got a big day ahead of you here tomorrow. It's late out in Ontario right now, almost 2 in the morning. 1, 2 in the morning?
That's about 1 o'clock, yeah.
Wow. So we typically do this Rogues Gallery after show. It's for our Patreon subscribers. It's a premium content we put together. It's a strictly optional thing, but we kind of talked about it just briefly in the lead up to getting together here this week, and it looks like we'll maybe have to try that another time, perhaps. I don't want to put too much pressure on you, of course. So on that note, why don't we hear once again Pyramids on Mars? I guess it's .com. People can find you on Facebook, Twitter, of course. Wow, 100,000 followers. Can you believe it, folks? That's quite something. His music is great. We did manage to stream a couple of your cuts. Echo Cosmic, I believe, is one of them. We didn't get the Order of the Freemasons, although we threw a little bit of Heaven's Gate in there at some point as well. I'm not sure if that was the best call necessarily, trying to add a little ambiance. You got two main types of music, I guess, soothing and the more kind of hard rocking, kind of driving Battle for Rome. It really captures the feeling of the pitch, the heat of battle, and it could almost be adapted to a, I guess, usage on a pirate ship. That reminds me, have you heard of Minds.com?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's like another Facebook, only it's better. I'll send you a link a little after we wrap here. and you can maybe check it out. But what we do over there, it's open sourced, censorship free. You know, there's no proprietary involvement whatsoever. Hashtagging is really great. Booster points are free and based on just your engagement and the way you find yourself active on the forum. It has just so many great things going for it, frankly. So, but one of the things we do is we put together from time to time what we build as our Minds World Indie Music Showcase. Your music is copyrighted, but things with YouTube now have got to the point where everything has been demonetized anyway, so that doesn't matter or apply. But what we'll do, if you're interested, is if you put a Minds channel together, we can bring some of your music on board and help to showcase that in our next upcoming, you know, what it is that we put together and record. We typically draw upon other different musical talents that are part of the platform, of course, but and just kind of inviting you, I guess, saying you're more than welcome to be a part of things if you like, and we can help to...
Absolutely. It sounds... That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, it's free promotion, basically, is how it works. So we're just... Because we're all about promoting indie talent and personalities, and... Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later. I think just out of respect for your... you know, because you got to get your... It's late in the morning, unless you want to put in... an overtime kind of shift here. I'm not sure, man. Is there anything else you could add to things? You got some public appearances coming up here later in the summer in Toronto. If there's people out there, or maybe listeners have friends that they want to direct toward the Alien Cosmic Expo.
Yeah, the Alien Cosmic Expo in Toronto. Best thing to do is to follow me on Facebook and you'll follow me on Twitter for sure, because there's lots of information that goes on there to keep updated with what's going on and, you know, new music and new shows, and also the new radio interviews that I do are posted on those sites. Oh, one more thing I was going to say, because I don't want to freak all these people out about the Mandela Effect. This will let you know that the Mandela Effect, what's taking place, is actually it's a good thing. It's part of the awakening. People understand, do some more research on that. We are in the age of Aquarius. We are in the age of awakening. It's a consciousness thing. This is the most exciting time to be alive as a human, because we are seeing things that no one else has seen for probably the history of human beings. But I'm just saying, for us to actually be able to witness, you know, these quantum changes, to awaken to a new spiritual, this is all building up to the age of enlightenment. We are very lucky to be living in these times. So embrace the changes, as crazy as they are.
Thanks so much for joining us, Kevin. We'll definitely have to be in touch once again, just a little later down the road. Once we get the post-production, the show wrapped up, we put this raw feed stream together and run post-production on it. That will definitely send the MP3 automatic link to you as it appears in the archives. In the meantime, though, appreciate you spending some time with us this week, and hope to talk to you once again. All the best.
Thank you. Well, I'd love to come back on again.
All right. Well, we'll definitely, maybe we can do something later in the fall, perhaps, you know, or something along those lines, I think would be great. We can work on putting together some new, fresh talking points.
Oh, there's something new that happens every week. So, yeah, there will definitely be new stuff to talk about.
Well, you can either just stand by there or drop out of Skype. It's your call, totally. But we're going to wrap things up here, folks. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We got about half a dozen people that have joined us here and stuck with us the whole while. Unfortunately, not as many questions for Kevin, per se, so much as comments
and people in
a lot of ways find themselves caught up in the side drama of this business of the alleged hacker.
Thank you for letting me know about that, because that just reaffirms that I have heard that sound before, the exact sound of somebody typing and somebody breathing. That's really weird.
Yeah, they're puzzled. They're trying to figure out, is it me, or is it what's going on here? So they not too clear on things, a lot of confusion, but we'll see how things play out. In the meantime, though, folks, don't forget, if you do have an iTunes account, to drop by what we have over there, our profile, and a 5-star rating if we deserve or warrant that. That's great. If you think the show totally bites and completely sucks, I guess you can, whatever, give us a half a star, or, you know, whatever you feel like. But it'd be great to work on getting our presence and name out there a little more. A lot of great guests coming up here. Emily Anderson, actually, I think, is our, she's up to deck here next week, as well as a few others people can check out via the March schedule. In the meantime, though, on behalf, and thanks once again to everybody who did tune in. I'm not sure if we did that on a formal basis or not, but you are really the people, along with the guests, who make the show very much appreciated. So in the meantime, though, on behalf of Captain Long John Sinclair and all the rest of the crew of the Robin Hood, until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host, as always, the ship's Chief Communications Officer, Jaffe Ryder.
Aye now, thar we be. Having carefully looked over each of our navigation panel instruments, checking every level, switch, dial, cable, knob, and pulley, by all accounts and indications, we indeed see it's time once again to drop anchor inside Mystic Bay and draw an end to another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Remember, if you're looking for a little more lively online action, keep in mind we've likely got yet another great free-flowing Rogues Gallery After Show coming up for the next hour in either Skype, Google Hangouts, or Peer.in. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past 2 years, you might want to drop by our Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. Half of all network donations go directly to charity. Help to keep those numbers growing over on Patreon, and we'll be able to extend even more of a generous pirate hand. Looking forward now to the balance of 2018, we're still not quite yet booked. So if you yourself have a new, novel, intriguing, or otherwise underreported idea, unique individual, or pressing item in mind, be sure to either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. We're always open to exploring fresh creative suggestions, intriguing guest ideas, cutting-edge discussion topics, and captivating themes. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by either liking, commenting on, subscribing to, or just following us via virtually any mainstream social media platform, including Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host as always, the ship's Chief Communications Officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!